Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, God, my rock and my salvation. Please be seated. Have you ever wondered if you were to be able to be a witness of a prayer of a great mystic? If you could go to the heart of, for example, St. John of the Cross or Teresa of Avila, to be a witness of someone in deep, deep prayer, what would it be like? How would they pray? Today we're listening to witness Jesus' prayer. We've been listening the last couple of weeks. We've been listening to Jesus' farewell discourse. It's just after the Last Supper. Jesus is preparing his disciples. He's going to leave. And he knows things are going to be rough for them. So he prepares. He gives them counsel and advice. And he's trying to give them the strength to withstand his departure. But today, we begin chapter 17 of John. And now it shifts. And it's just Jesus alone with God. Jesus alone with his Father. And we are witness of this deep prayer. We're listening to Jesus' words as he addresses his Father, whom he calls his Father God. And what is it that we discover here? First of all, the first thing that we listen to is Jesus is thinking about us. Jesus saying, I not only pray for those here, the apostles around him, but he says, I'm going to be praying for those who are coming after me. So the first thing is, we, all of us, are in the conscience of Christ. Jesus is first of all thinking of you and of me. That is his first thought. Let me pray for you. And what is he praying for? He's saying, I pray that all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Imagine it's like a Russian dolls. You know those Russian dolls and one little doll? So that's the image I got. Jesus is saying, I in them, you and me, that we all become one. It's like a little Russian doll. We are in Christ, Christ is in God, and everything is in God. Jesus knew his disciples. Why is Jesus saying this? Why is Jesus emphasizing this idea of we're all one? He knew that unity was the grace that would keep them strong in the face of his death. He knew that at the face of his death, they were going to move around. They were not going to believe. They're going to say, this is too hard. This is too tough. What in the world does this mean? And he knew that those were the temptation of the disciples at that moment in his death. And he tells them, be strong. And the most important thing, be united. Be together. Jesus knew that in unity, these disciples would have the strength to wait for the resurrection, to wait for Pentecost. This week, I was witness these past, just these last 3 days, witness of three or four beautiful examples of how we can be strengthened by unity, by being together. First, on Friday, we have a group from Kansas, Nebraska, visiting us from the church in Pratt, Kansas, the Episcopal Church in Pratt, Kansas, All Saints, right? And Karen, who's the priest, right? And Jim, who is James Lemon, who is Karen's son, who is the organizer of this group, and Robin, his wife. They brought a group, a family from Nebraska, and one of their kids is a survivor of cancer. He was diagnosed 2 years ago with stage 4, but thankfully he is in remission for the past couple of tests. So they've come together as a family. And I was witness such a terrible situation, a 10-year-old diagnosed with cancer. But just like Jesus knew, these disciples needed the strength of unity of the disciples. That example for me was, oh, that's what Jesus is talking about. When a group of a church and a family get together to support and encourage and give the strength for a family to overcome the most difficult situation of living with cancer, we have a family that is there, right? And you've designed this program called Walking with Jimmy. We've had them visit last year as a way to support the unity of a family. Many camps send people outside to just the kids who are surviving of cancer. But this idea is, no. Importance of the family unit. All of them, mom and dad and the siblings, all of them are coming together to spend time together because, just as Jesus knew, in unity we receive that strength. So thank you for being with us today. I'll let you a little bit later introduce yourselves and say something for us. Another example was yesterday. I was wondering, why are we so few today? Because yesterday we had the memorial service for our dear Kay Mattson, the burial of remains here at the Columbarium. And for me, that was another example of the strength of unity. To see up here Dale preaching his homily, a beautiful homily, about who Kay was for him, but also who Kay was for God. And in the pulpit was Dale and his two children. They were there supporting each other. Supporting each other in the moment of death, of mourning, but supporting each other as a family. Another example of what Jesus is talking about here. So this discourse of Jesus is not something alien or something kind of mystical or beyond our imagination. It is something very, very real. We've experienced what Jesus was asking. We experienced it yesterday. I was just looking at the numbers. 123 people were here in church yesterday. That is what Jesus was saying. In difficult times, band together. Be together. Be there for each other. Today, I'm adding one. I'm not feeling too good. So probably you see my thoughts are a little bit going up and down. But Hugh offered this morning, says, I'll go and I'll preach for you at 8 o'clock. And I'm very grateful for that. And he just sat and prepared something and he said, it went well. So I'm thankful. That is another example. When things are a little bit difficult, just in my own life, I don't feel too good. I have a spouse who's willing to say, stay home. I'll preach for you. I'll take care. Don't worry. That is what Jesus is saying. Be united. Be together. Another example is today. Monica is going to be there in the parish hall. And we're going to be making a collection for Sister Lucy. Sister Lucy came, what was it, 2 weeks ago, right, Monica? Yeah, 2 weeks ago, more or less. And that is another example. This woman, this sister, Roman Catholic sister from India, she came to tell her story about, and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, her story of feeling called by God to serve the most poor and neglected in India. And she's created 46 shelters for women and children and men who are impoverished, who are just in forgotten by society. And she's created these 46 homes, shelters, where they can receive attention and love and can be the best that they can do. All the loose offering today is going to be sent to her and her project over in India. And Monica will have some of the products they make for donations. They don't even say, we want to sell them. Whatever you give, that will be sent over to India also as a way to support. So I was just saying what Jesus was talking. I have witnesses here at Emmanuel in these last 3 days. These four examples that I mentioned, that is what Jesus was talking about. As you, Father, are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus is presenting us like a mirror. He's saying, look, look here. And the mirror is God. And he's saying, be like God. And the God, in Christianity, we call it the Trinity. And it's a beautiful image. It's an image of unity, of one God. But at the same time, it's three. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we traditionally call it. And it's a mystery that the unity and the diversity is encapsulated in that belief of our Christian God, the one and the three. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be like that. Here is a mirror. Look at me. Just as I am united with the Father and we are one, look at me. Be the same. You are the same. And the beautiful challenge of that is, and Hugh and I, we've been talking about it, it's a difficult balance, just like the Trinity. It's one or three, and it's the tension, the paradox of both. On one side, the unity, but we have to be careful. Sometimes unity can become oppressive. Some of our non-monotheistic brothers and sisters say, yeah, you monotheistic people, you believe in only one God, you tend to be a little bit imperialistic. Everything is one, and everyone has to think the same and do the same things and believe the same way and speak the same language. But reality, it's this tension of the diversity, of the multiplicity, of a God that is one and three. And it's a mirror to us. And the invitation is very practical. Things like, for example, in our country, we all think that we are the United States of America. And in the same conception of who we are is one amongst many. There's a thing like there, a saying, no, we're the melting pot. That's kind of a bit dangerous. We're not melting anybody. We're not making one thing out of it. The reality, we as the United States should be a country where we value the diversity. We don't have an official language, even though there's some people saying we should have English as our official language. There is no official language. We want to create a space where the multiplicity is not a threat to anybody else. You notice the first reading today? The Romans who attacked Paul in the first reading? What he was saying, the people in the majority, the people, the Romans, they were threatened by that little group, that little band of people, Paul and his disciples, that were speaking about this new way. And they feel threatened. No. They can't. We're all Romans here. We all think alike, speak alike, and believe alike. No differences allowed here. Doesn't that sound a little bit similar to something that we hear in our society? And the God that is telling us is, no, that is not who I am. I am the God that is three in one and one in three, even if you don't believe in Trinity. The reality behind it is that is God. God that cannot be captured in one only, or in three, or many. It's a God that is both, one and three. Just as we. No one needs to be threatened by diversity, by people thinking differently, believing differently, having a different skin color, having a different sexual orientation than yours, being from a different nationality. That should never threaten us. Because the challenge that Christ presents us is, yes, be one, but we one like I am one with my Father. We not disappear. It's not a melting pot here. I, Jesus, is Jesus, and Father is Father, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and they're one. Just do the same. That is the challenge that Christ gives us. And that challenge beautifully is expressed what we're going to do just in a couple of minutes. When we come forward to the bread and the wine, think of it. The bread is made by hundreds and thousands of pieces of little bits of wheat, right? The wheat seed that is crushed and it's made into one bread. But it is still the many grains that form the bread are there present. In the wine, the same thing. Many grapes form one wine. And St. Augustine would say, think of that. The many grains of bread, of wheat that make the bread, the many grapes that make the wine, that is you. And when you come forward to receive communion, that is who you are. And he says, be what you see, receive what you are. As I invite you, as you come close for communion, may we all be touched by the call to be united in our diversity. And may we pray that they may become true in our church, in our community, in our country, and in the world. Let us pray. God of boundless grace, you call us to drink freely of the well of life and to share the love of your holy being. May the glory of your love, made known in the victory of Jesus Christ, our Savior, transform our lives and the world he lived and died to save. We ask this in the name and for his sake. Amen.
Please stand with me as you are able.